Mary Cassian is co-author of the upcoming book, True Woman 201, Interior Design. She describes some traditions that make Christmas meaningful at her house.
Being German, I grew up with an Advent celebration. So Advent, really looking forward to the coming. Advent is really important in our house, and we set it up as a family tradition very early on. So we have to have our tree up, everything decorated, everything ready by first Advent, which sometimes is at the end of November, if it comes early that particular year, because it's four Sundays before Christmas. So every Sunday of Advent, we celebrate Advent. Even if it's a very simple celebration, what we'll do is we'll light a fire in the fireplace, we'll light all the candles, we'll sit around our family room, and then we would do just a very short Advent remembrance. So my husband would read a passage from the Word. And I have a Jesse tree. It's called a Jesse tree. So every Advent, you get to open one package and pull out all these ornaments and put them on the tree. So that was symbolic. And the big thing is light the Advent candle and say a word of prayer and dig in and just sit around and really enjoy time together as a family. Great preparation for Christmas. So really, we celebrate Christmas for the entire month of December.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Wednesday, November 26th. Over the last couple of days, we've been in a helpful series called Making Christmas More Meaningful. Nancy Lee DeMoss and a group of women are sharing some ideas.
I'm Mary Birchfield, and we just love the season of Advent and Christmas at our house, and not that we do it all right. We I'm sure have a lot of room to grow, but I think over the years I've learned to really just simplify. I think too. I think I had high expectations, and you expect everyone to follow what you expect of meals or the tree or whatever. So kind of how we celebrate. I have three children: a daughter 10 and a son 13 and another son 16. But we'll always spend a Thanksgiving. After Thanksgiving, we go to cut a tree down, and I love it. There's a Christmas tree farm over in White House, Ohio. I'm from the Toledo area. And there's a big sign that says, "We sell Christmas trees, not holiday trees." So it's just really special to us. And we go out there and we let the children each year, we'll pick a turn, like it was the oldest son's turn. So each year the children have a turn to pick the type of tree, and we'll go out as a family. So we really spend that time together. We'll get the tree cut down, we take it home. And then I've lowered the standards of that the tree has to be decorated in a certain way and allowed the children to really have fun with it. I think before I used to be particular, like, no, don't put it there. And you see, you take the joy from them when you start to try to control all those little things. So we really let them have fun and pleasure. We just kind of relax and, you know, play music. And, you know, really, it's a nice relaxing time. And whether it all gets decorated perfectly, it doesn't really matter. And then also, we just look for opportunities. Like through the school, there's a lot of needy families and much more now with the economy. So the principal will kind of secretively, just let you know of a family's needs and kind of their wish list, and we'll go out together. The boys not so much anymore, but with my daughter, and select gifts for these families maybe in need. And then we just give, not knowing who will receive it. And then even with our gifts for the kids, you know, they still do get gifts, but we really try more to give them gifts of things we can enjoy together as a family, like just play tickets that we can all enjoy time. It's a time spent together, not just the number of gifts and things like that. And so then in our church, we have like an Advent wreath, which is circular. And I won't be able to tell you probably every single thing it means, but it's kind of continuous, as God is never ending. There's no beginning and no end. And usually there's greenery too. And again, that would be symbolic, I think, of the evergreen, and if I'm hopefully getting everything right. And then you would have the candles. Now, they're different churches may use different colors, but usually that is symbolic of something too, and usually a penitent heart as you're kind of preparing in that season. And it's just the weeks leading up to Christmas, and it's a time, a season, much as Lent is, to prepare our hearts for Christmas. And you know, we would have a church service always on Wednesday, but you also would celebrate. And then you light one new candle each Sunday, and then you usually have your Christmas candle in the middle of the wreath that you would light on Christmas morning.
One of the things that's most special to our family this time of the year is we really enjoy making soup and bread and then taking it out to different senior citizens throughout the month. And I think the thing we enjoy the most is just being able to, I mean, they always want you to come in and sit down for an hour and just get to visit. And they're not always widows, but a lot of them are. And they just like having somebody just to be there in the house with them and share with them. And that just blesses our hearts so much, just to get to spend that time with the different senior citizens.
Tammy, I heard that you and Bill visited with Jean Murphy recently.
Yeah, this week.
Was that one of those?
Mm-hmm.
Can you just tell a little bit about, because Jean has been a long, long time praying friend and supporter of this ministry, and she loves Revive Our Heart. She has a heart for revival.
She's just such a joy. The first thing she always asks me is, do you still work at Revive Our Hearts? No, actually she'll say, do you still work for Nancy? And I say, yes, I'm still working for Nancy. And she says, do you know that I pray for Revive Our Hearts every day? And I pray for Nancy every day. And she does. She's a real prayer warrior. Personally, she mentored our son. Our son was, I don't know, 13, 14 years old, and he knew some about computers, and they'd have him over like every week to do something on the computer, but they just really poured into his life, and he's in the missions field now, and she'll say, I pray for him every day, and I know she does, and she has women, young ladies, and even young men. Where she's living now is on the way to a local community college, and she's shared Bible studies, and these kids, you know, maybe 8-10 of them will come in on their way coming to or from school, and she has Bible studies with them, and so she's a wonderful blessing in our lives.
She is a great blessing, but she's also hurting. She's lost her husband and is feeling not so needed, and her health is deteriorating. So just, I heard you and Bill were there the other night. Any sense of what that meant to her to have you all stop by?
It means a lot. And we've heard this from several of the people we visit, is they're just lonely. You know, a woman like Jean, she is in a wheelchair, so she, you know, she's had to sell her car, so she can't get out. And even the ones that can get out this time of the year, you know, we were out and there was a lot of snow, and so they can't get out. And so just having somebody to come in and talk to them, and especially share memories, share about their spouses, let them tell you stories, and you learn lots of interesting things about people when you let them share their stories. They just really appreciate the time. This was also a blessing for our children, too. I mean, we used to do this when our kids were home. Our kids are grown now, but we would take our kids out as well. And it was a real blessing to our kids to be able to be with a lot of elderly people. And we homeschooled, so we would take off the 2 weeks before Christmas instead of the 2 weeks after Christmas, so we could do that. And because we just felt it was so important to do that with our children as well.
We always keep our manger scene, our nativity scene, at the base of the Christmas tree. And somebody had mentioned about letting kids play with it. My mom always did that, and we had the unbreakable figures, and we could always play with it. And my little sister would cart baby Jesus off. He'd end up in the dollhouse or something. But anyway, it was a miracle he didn't get lost over all those years. But we always let our kids play with it. But the very significant thing for me that's very precious about my actually the stable, is that it's constructed out of the trunks of the Christmas trees from when we were growing up. And I didn't know this, but for years my dad would cut all the branches off the Christmas trees and put them in the garage, and we didn't know he was saving all those trunks of the trees until we got married. And then he made us stables out of the trunks of the Christmas trees. And so every time I get that out and I put it up under my Christmas tree, which now for the last 25 years we've been saving the trunks of our Christmas trees to do the same thing for our children, and they know that's coming. When they get married, they'll get a stable. And they've all talked about how they're going to put theirs underneath their Christmas tree, and that tradition will continue. And it's very special to me because my dad is not one to really let his emotions out. You know, he's not real sentimental. He's a real matter-of-fact jokester. And so the fact that he thought of that years ago is so special to me, that he planned years ahead to do that for us. You know, so that makes it very special. But I have always put the manger scene under the tree, the base of the tree. It's very symbolic. It's not that Christmas isn't about the tree and it isn't about the presents. It's about the manger. And so that's the foundation, you know. It almost looks like the tree is resting on that. And then all the gifts go around behind it, because the most important gift is the baby in the manger. So that's why we keep it there. So,
And when you think of the manger being under the shadow of the tree, which is the ultimate purpose of it all, is the cross, it keeps that in perspective too.
Now, my husband grew up in a home where they didn't always have a Christmas tree, and they didn't do a whole lot. They'd go to his grandmother's Christmas Eve, and that was it, and they just didn't do much in his house and at his home. So the first year we got married, and we got a live tree, because that's what I grew up with, he was so excited, because he had never had this before. So anyway, we had some ornaments that I had from my childhood, and we bought a few things. We had a few strings, like maybe two strings of lights for this tree. And so anyway, I knew that when you decorate a Christmas tree, you have to put the lights on first. You can't put the ornaments on first. You have to start with the lights. So he was all excited. So we opened the box, and he started picking out ornaments and started hanging them on the tree. I said, oh, no, you got to put the lights on first. And it just kind of threw him for a loop, because I was taking over control. And so he just kind of went, okay, you do it, you know? And I was like, well, what's the matter with him? And I didn't realize, but he felt very disrespected and at that moment, because I was telling him what to do, and you don't do it this way, you do it my way. And so I realized I made a huge mistake. And it took a few years to kind of undo that and get him back in, pull him back into it. So, you know, go ahead, do it however you want. So, you know, 1 Peter 3 talks about winning our husbands with a gentle and quiet spirit and respectful spirit. And so if you want your husband to step in and lead in that area, that, you know, we have to do it by stepping back and letting him do it in prayer, lots of prayer. So,
one way that I have found to keep myself associated with the Lord and with my faith, and also in a very subtle yet gentle and welcoming way, speak truth to my family and everybody who's visiting, because if you go to pretty much a Latin home during the holidays, there's always going to be people around, and I'm pretty sure many of your homes it is the same way. So I have brought, I've replaced the CDs to be played for Christian music CDs for Christmas. So I have down there already, they're there, like music by Steve Green and Damaris Carbaugh and the Brooklyn Tabernacle, and I'm sure you have your own favorites for the season, but they've replaced Frank Sinatra and, you know, some of the other ones.
My name is Lori Peugeot, and I just thought I would share a Christmas tradition that we have started. What we do is every year, we think of one significant event that happened to us that year, and then we create an ornament around that, and then we decorate our tree with that ornament. And so then it's fun, because then when the next year comes around, we can unwrap and go through previous years and the ornaments and the meanings and the events that happened around those particular events in our lives.
So a couple ornaments you could share about with us?
Well, we had our marriage, we had our baptism, we had new jobs. We had, you know, loved ones that passed away. We made ornaments around, you know, their lives. So it's a great kind of time to have a memorial around, you know, significant events in our past. And it makes it, you know, so much of it is special people or special events that happen. So
great. Good. You know, one of the things that's been a big blessing to me, and this does not involve other people, but just in our own personal journey during these seasons, during both Lent leading up to Easter and Advent leading up to Christmas. I can't say I do this every year, but many years I, in my devotional reading, will pick a book or one or more books that are about, that focus on that season. So like right now I'm reading through a book that's a series of sermons on the birth of Christ that were compiled by somebody many years ago. And these are old, old sermons. Some are Charles Spurgeon and some of these great old preachers, but they're printed sermons. And so I'm reading through those during Lent. I'll pick a book that focuses on the passion of Christ, the cross, the resurrection of Christ, something that is focusing my thinking. So I'm in the Word, but also supplementing that with reading on the Christmas story or whatever season it is, to just get my heart tuned and focused. Because the message you're getting everywhere else, pretty much, except on the night you happen to be at church, but everywhere else, it's so secular. And so I'm wanting to just fill my heart with thinking that is, you know, the provoking thoughts about Christ. And that's been a big blessing to me. It gets me focused on that season with everything else that's going on. That's where my heart gets quiet. It's in that reading.
We were talking about ornaments, And there's one that I have a particular favorite. It's if you were to look at my Christmas tree right about eye level, there is this big red apple hanging there as an ornament. And on it is a tag that...
Is it a real apple?
No, it isn't. You could do that, but no, I just got one of those fake ones. And the tag says, you know, for by one man sin entered the world. And, of course, you, if you're thinking biblically and you see an apple, you think of Adam and Eve, right? So it's the entrance of sin into the world. Right next to it is this little wafer of bread that's also hanging. And that is that his body was broken on the cross for us, and he is the bread of life. And they're right there in the center. And the goal of that, you can imagine, if you're decorating with your kids, how can we have this? Or if you have people, unsaved relatives or anybody in your home, they're in this, you know, what? Why do you have an apple on your tree? Oh, am I ever glad you asked. And it gives you a wide open opportunity to share with them.
Yeah. You're wanting to create conversation with your children, with people in your home. And it goes back again to these Old Testament pictures of on this special night, this night of all nights, and your children say to you, what does this mean? What we're eating, what we're looking at, these symbols. Then you explain to them. And you don't just explain it once. You explain it over and over and over again. We need the retelling of the story for ourselves, for our families, and for those around us. So it really is an incredible opportunity to honor Christ, to have our hearts tuned toward him, to reflect the heart of Christ. We've heard that in some of these accounts about giving. And you know, what a great challenge for us to be countercultural. We always talk in this ministry about the countercultural revolution and, you know, swimming upstream. And this is one area where I think there's a challenge for us to swim upstream. And what that looks like for you, depending on your season of life and how the Lord leads you, may be very different. But I want to just challenge you to think about it, to be intentional, not to just go with the flow of what the culture is doing. And the older you get, do you agree with me that it just all goes faster? It's like a stream that's just carrying you along, you know? And then you say, phew, that was gone. And we're exhausted and broke and depressed. And it's no wonder that so many people, that January is such a down time for people because it's been all about me. And that is so empty. Or it's been all about fulfilling other people's expectations. And somewhere the Lord just got left out of all this. So I've been so blessed listening to some of you share what you do to make this a meaningful time. And I hope that many of our listeners who are hearing, who've heard these programs, will write and tell us what you have done, some creative ideas, things that have made Christmas meaningful to you. In fact, go to our website, reviveourhearts.com. Go down to the comment blog at the end of the program and post a note there about what you do that's meaningful, and it'll be something that perhaps will encourage others as well. And that's what we want, to make Christ known, to love him more ourselves as a result of having been through this season, and then to have others love him more as well. And to know, so many of you have talked about children, to know that the baton of faith, the baton of truth, is being passed on to the next generation. And Lord willing, someday they'll be sharing some of these things with their children and grandchildren as well. Thank you, Lord, for these ladies. Thanks for what they've shared, the encouragement, the challenge of some who really are swimming upstream. My own heart is challenged, and pray that you will bless the thoughts that have been shared. And even in these short weeks left between now and Christmas, that you would help us to maybe just something, one thing we've heard that would prompt a thought or an idea that would add a layer of significance and meaning to our celebration of this season. Show us what that might be, and help us not to foolishly, you know, make all kinds of extravagant or big plans or ideas, but to ask you, what one or two things might you have us to do that would be a blessing to you and to us and to those around us? We love you, Lord Jesus. We bless you and say thank you for Christmas. And thanks for this day. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Nancy Lee DeMoss has been talking with a group of women about eliminating unrealistic expectations for the holidays and replacing them with traditions that keep us focused on Christ. If you missed any of the series, you can hear it at reviveourhearts.com. It's called Making Christmas More Meaningful. When Nancy Lee DeMoss chose the songs to record for a new Christmas CD, you can imagine she wanted the songs to be very meaningful.
I love the way that so many of the carols on this album use the word come. They're carols that express the Old Testament longing for Christ to come and visit his people. And then as New Testament believers, we pray, oh Lord, come and minister to our hearts and make yourself real to us in this season. And then come, Lord Jesus, is the cry of all of us who love and worship Christ and who long for his second appearing. And in response to who he is and what he has done, there's that invitation to come adore him, Jesus Christ the Lord. It's my prayer that that's what you will be doing all throughout this season, as there are all kinds of activities and busyness and things that can make you frantic and frenetic. But I hope that your focus will be on Christ the Lord and that your heart will be full of worship and gratitude as you come adore him.
Thanks, Nancy. We'd like to send you the brand new CD Nancy Lee DeMoss has been talking about. It's called Come Adore. When you support Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any size, the CD is our way of thanking you. So ask for Come Adore when you call us at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or you can visit reviveourhearts.com. Well, do you know gratitude can be a choice? And when you choose gratitude, it can change the way you view everything. Nancy will talk about it with Barbara Rainey tomorrow.
So I think individually we need to monitor what we're taking in to our brains. Because you talk about that in your book, about how important the mind is. It does start in the heart, but the mind is influencing the emotions of the heart. And if we're focusing on the negative, then our heart is going to become fearful. But if we're focusing on God's providence and his sovereignty and his plan, then our heart is much more inclined to trust and then be grateful.
And that's really the whole concept of renewing our minds according to the truth of God's word. And that's why one of the things that I really discipline myself to do is to get more intake of the word of God into my mind than I do from the external culture. So there's that recalibrating
I agree with you.
Our minds and our hearts, and as you said, to focus on the things that are true and lovely and of good report, the things that are sure, even when everything around us seems to be unsure and unsteady.
Well, I really agree with you. I think what we put in our minds is crucial. And that's why I'm excited that you wrote the book about gratitude, because I think we need that in our culture, because there is so much to complain about. On the surface, looking at the news reports, there is a lot to be concerned about. But we need to discipline our minds to be thankful and to be grateful and put into our thinking the things that are right and true.
Please be back for Revive Our Hearts.
Thank you.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.